Man, you see me over here taking these headphone cords and I made it into a noose. Because even though he told the truth, he basically hung himself.
It's the future!
Down and distance. On WGNRadio.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Down and Distance Dad Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at DADPod. Also, SD2 Mics on Twitter for Sean Davis, myself at Peyton Sun, PAYTON SUN. We got Brian Crawford sitting in with us. BC, what is going on? You were part of the JPS family, the beginning, the first time that I ever got behind a mic. Man, you were in the studio. I was listening to old JPS audio yesterday of all three of us, add in JR Bang, and we were all going at it. And we were talking about Bulls. So it's only fitting that we're going to be sitting down, just the three of us this time. Shout out to J.R. Bang.
He's en route.
He is?
Not up here.
Oh, okay.
That's Chicago for the holidays.
And we get a chance to, you know, kind of talk about the Bulls situation. I'm gonna hand it over to you, Sean, because I know you two got something to kind of
Well, I
iron
think
out.
Everybody right now at the surface is really just making this about, you know, the comments Jimmy Butler had after the game in New York. And, you know, the actions that, you know, came after that as far as him sitting down with Fred Hoiberg and his comments to the media after practice on Monday and even moving forward to, you know, the loss. Man, I don't even know how to describe the loss.
Which one?
On Monday night. That was – and we can get into it, but I think what I would like to do with BC, because we've been talking back and forth since Saturday night via text, social media, sharing conversations – on Facebook and Twitter, disagree about certain things but agree on other things. And I think we really just want to get to the core of how we got to this point, because we just can't talk about Jimmy's comments without understanding how Jimmy got in that situation, why he's operating the way he's operating. BC wrote a great article. I posted it on Facebook talking about the situation and who really is to blame and how we got here. So let's just start by saying you can go and check out. We're going to link it in. Season 1, episode 16, we were talking about Tibbs and his firing and what things were going to be like. And Brian Crawford on the Dad Podcast was the first to say that Fred Hoiberg would be the next Tim Floyd. Before he had coached a game, he said, this situation is not going to turn out good. It's just not going to turn out good. The way the locker room was, the backbiting with Tibbs on the way out the door, the way Tibbs left, the organization, the way the players felt about everything. It just wasn't a good place for Fred Hoiberg to walk in. And if you really don't think he's a credible coach, how does he gain the respect of the players and give them direction to be able to get past everything that's going on? So with all that being said, Jimmy's comments, this is what he had to say after the game, Madison Square Garden, Saturday night.
Do you believe in this roster and the guys in this locker room, the way it's constructed right now? Or do you think there might need to be a shakeup, or there might need to be something drastic for guys to get the message?
I believe in the guys in this locker room, yeah. But I also believe that we probably have to be coached a lot harder at times. I'm sorry, I know that Fred's a laid-back guy, and I really respect him for that. But when guys aren't doing what they're supposed to do, you got to get on guys, myself included. You got to do what you're supposed to do when you're out there playing basketball.
Those are Jimmy's comments. First of all, BC, did you have any issue or take any issue with what Jimmy had to say after that game?
Man, you see me over here taking these headphone cords, and I made it into a noose. Because even though he told the truth, he basically hung himself. And, me and you disagreed about this completely. I don't understand why there's so much backlash towards Jimmy Butler. You know, there's been backlash about Derrick Rose and being hurt, making all this money, yada, yada, yada. Now we mad at Jimmy Butler for speaking out loud and saying something that was actually true. And it's like Bulls fans can't make up their mind, like, who they going to be mad at. They still mad at Derrick Rose, not even mad at Jimmy, even though for the past 2.5 seasons, Jimmy's been the best player on the floor consistently. Been out there, guarding the best player, putting up numbers. You know, if people have a problem with what he said or how he said it, I think they should actually look at how we got here. In the article I wrote, it was very hastily written. I could have went a little bit deeper into it, but I say that to say that Jimmy didn't anoint himself. This came from, obviously, this came from inside the organization. They have basically distanced themselves and moved on from Derrick Rose, even though that they're paying him.
Now, let me interject right here. Something else that we talked about in that same podcast after Tibbs was fired. We talked about the Bulls brass, the front office, putting all their chips in the middle of the table and putting everything on two players. And those two players were?
Jimmy.
And Nico.
And Nico. So, and one of those people is not holding up their end at all.
No, not at all. So going back to, I mean, that's kind of what I, when I looked at the situation, BC, I had to kind of look at Gar and Pax and say that they really handed this team over to Jimmy. Like, here you go. You are our future. And I have to put myself in the locker room of just being a former player. If I see something like that go on when I have feelings of myself, of somebody else who was probably a leader, who I know is a leader and who I have established in my mind as a leader, who I follow. And then you're telling me that this is the new guy, like you're serving it up and that's not what I'm eating?
That's like your mom saying that she got a favorite kid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's my favorite and you all right. You know what I'm saying? When you used to be the favorite. So you was cool when you was the baby of the family. You was the only kid or whatever. Now your little sister and brother come and your mom flat out tell you that's the favorite. Like, you're going to feel some kind of way about that.
And I don't know if I have a problem with what Jimmy said. Listen, I felt exactly what he was saying. Like, when he said it, I was like,
this, oh, we saw it.
Like, I saw it too, but yeah. I'm like, okay. I know people are going to take offense to this and people are going to get upset. But he was saying how he felt. He's got a new role.
He doesn't even have a role.
I should not even say a role. A new title. Everybody's calling him the leader. BC, you said the last 2 years, he's done what he's had to do. And now he got his money, bet on himself, get that cash. I'm always about getting your cash and your paper. But then you look at the situation around him. I'm not in that locker room, but there seems to be some stuff that's been going on that people aren't talking about
For the last year, and I think, once again, we talked about it. Look, we've been at the forefront of this. Whether it's me talking about it on the podcast, whenever BC has come on, we've been very clear about the direction of this team, the organization, and what the locker room was like. And everybody else that thought a coaching change or a change of attitude or this coach being softer and not as hard on the players as Tibbs was going to change the fortunes. No.
Look, here's the thing. The roster as currently constructed now with the personnel was built for and around Derrick Rose.
Yes.
Like, that's just it.
Let me ask you a question. Was that only because of knowing the history of the NBA and smaller guys being that one guy? Was that the right move to construct it the way they constructed it around Derrick Rose?
Absolutely. With Derrick Rose being the centerpiece, you build it around him, you know, and, you know, Tibbs had a lot of input into the development of each player with Derrick Rose being the centerpiece. It just so happened that he kept getting hurt, you know. So other guys got to step up. Joakim stepped up. Jimmy stepped up. So now this is a situation where Tibbs is out. His philosophies, his coaching strategies, you know, all of that is out the door. Now you have Fred Hoiberg coming in, trying to coach a team that he did not construct, that really and truly does not fit his personality. Like, these dudes enjoy, like, they hated Tibbs, but they loved him, and they loved him because they needed him, and they respected him because they won.
Yeah.
So what's going to have to happen now is, and it's in process now, is this team's going to have to be blown up. Fred Hoiberg has 5 years, and he will be able to assemble his personnel in a way that fits his offensive philosophy, whatever that is. I haven't seen it yet, but with Jimmy being the centerpiece. So I think a lot of this Jimmy talk is just, I don't know, he's like the scapegoat. I said this. You know, he spoke out loud. He said, you know, he broke the code, according to what Kendall Gill said. But really and truly, he's a scapegoat. It's a top-down issue. It's always been a top-down issue. You know, the people that signed his checks, the people that gave him that deal, also told him in that same meeting, you the man now. And he took that and he ran with it. And I respect Jimmy for trying to earn his money. He's making $92 million. Now he's more vocal. Now you see him playing super hard on both ends of the court. You don't see anybody else doing that. And I don't think it's his fault. I think the organization basically anointed him and alienated everybody else. And it's just like a Tibbs situation last year. He's not – Tibbs knew he was out the door. He knew who his replacement was and when he was coming. So there was no way that he was going to coach hard. It was no way that he was going to coach to try to win the championship. These players feel the same way, man. It's not about Jimmy being the wrong kind of leader. It's about these dudes basically getting shoved out the door, and they see it coming. That's just my take on it.
So why would you play hard?
Exactly.
Why would you
– Why would Derrick Rose play hard?
I mean, for what? When you already thinking about – I mean, I knew that before the season started. When thinking about that there's other things out there, and the West Coast sounds a little bit better. I mean, it's
– It was very interesting, man, because –
Egos, man.
We all have one,
right? I'm telling you, and I've said this before, it doesn't matter. But when you're a competitor and stuff like that happens, as much as you want your boy to get on and do what he's got to do, you don't want to ever be forgotten.
Look, man, it's December 23rd. Not to cut you off, but December 23rd, I'm saying it right here now on your show. The very next article I write about the Bulls as an organization in any context will be titled this, Maybe Reggie Was Right.
All the backlash he took. Reggie, sit down, shut up. Don't say anything. Maybe Reggie was the precursor to Jimmy.
Hey, man.
Which is why I asked BC how they constructed the team around Derrick was incorrect in the first place.
I disagree with that.
I'll say it for this reason. Historically, you look at Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose is a great player, MVP, top five in the league at that point in time. Some might say top three, right? Some might say just only behind LeBron at that time. My issue is when you look at the way the team was constructed, he really had no other dog with him. Now, if Jimmy was Jimmy back then and they had this Jimmy back then you had a 6'5", 6'6 guy that could bear a little bit more weight. History shows when you give a guy that small, that much weight, especially offensively, it will wear on him, especially the way he plays. I mean, look, I don't want to call him Allen Iverson, but once again, you show me somebody 6'2", 6'3", that had to shoulder that much offensive load that didn't wear down and that actually won a championship.
Well, he had better talent around him than AI, first of all.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and then, like I said, you know, even without him, they still won no less than 45 games every single year. But last year they won 50, something like that. So I think it was – the team was constructed around Derrick Rose, and I think it was brilliant the way they put it together. But I think it was also
– I also think it was B plans, though.
I think
Boozer was a B, maybe even a C plan.
Tibbs got a lot out of Booze.
He did.
Not at the end, though. But Tibbs, it goes back to Tibbs for me, and I hate to keep harping on it because he's not coming back. But he was just a better coach.
BC, question for you. What was all the talk about, and you both tell me this, what was the talk about at the end of the season last year when in those exit meetings? What was Jimmy's comments about?
And then you told me something
about
that
Tom Thibodeau.
Knew. Yeah.
Or what you can tell.
Talk
me.
About that a little bit.
It was a few players who weren't exactly pro Tibbs. But I say that to say this. That whole last season was a media sell. So you got a coach that's winning 45, 50 games without his best players for 3 out of the 5 seasons that he's been there, right?
Yeah.
Still make the playoffs. 1-2 in the league, still very competitive, won a playoff series. So you can't fire that guy unless you sell the fan base on it. So that's all we was hearing about.
The narrative.
Yeah, the narrative. Tibbs running his player down. You know, Tibbs has a closed-door policy. He's not very friendly, yada, yada, yada. So you keep throwing this out there, and then all of a sudden you got fans like, okay, well, you know, maybe it is time for a change. Maybe it is time for something different. At the same time, they're looking at Golden State, who got rid of Mark Jackson, another 50-win coach. They bring in Steve Kerr. They hit the ground running. They ended up winning the championship. So now you got Bulls fans thinking, well, maybe that could be us.
Steve Kerr is a totally different pedigree.
Listen, man, he got a totally different group of players. Totally different personnel. Yeah. But Bulls fans got seduced with the whole offensive style that Golden State was playing, and they wanted that. It's not a copycat league, fam.
Especially if you don't have the same talent.
You don't have the same talent. Yeah. You don't have the same personnel.
Tibbs did want Draymond Green, though.
He did want Draymond. But you know what? You got Golden State over here winning 55, 60 games with a healthy roster. You got Tibbs over here winning 50 games without his best player. What's the complaint? You're still winning. The only reason why you're not getting to the mountaintop because your best player is hurt. I will always feel that Tibbs should have got that last year. He should have got one more year just to see what could happen with a healthy Derrick Rose, a healthy Joakim Noah, an already emerging Jimmy Butler. You know, he could have developed Nico. Nico was terrible, man. Like, he looked good under Tibbs.
But
he
faded
looks
in
awful.
The playoffs.
I expect that. He's a rookie. I don't blame him for that. It's first year in the league, first year under that stage, them lights or whatever. I think he would have got past that.
When you look at this team, though, after having because I've been in a situation before where you go from one coach to the next coach that comes in the next year, the way that Tom was hard on these guys in a good way, to keep them, you know, to push them, you know, some people said he was running them into the ground. But to me, I think he's one of these coaches that was just hard, and he demanded a lot from each one of his players.
Yeah, and they're all in the locker room singing Janet Jackson. You don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah, right. And so now he's gone, and you're looking at a dude who just kind of comes in, who to me everybody's calling a substitute teacher, and kind of sit
That's
back and,
what he is.
And relax. You know what I mean? Where guys now in the locker room are like, dude,
I ain't got to listen.
We get no paper airplanes everywhere.
Yeah,
spitballs.
Yeah, like teachers gone. You know what you used to do when the substitute came in? You know, you put the book up a little bit, clout your head down, and take a little snooze about 15. Wake me up if she comes back.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Ask for a hall pass. Leave for the entire
period. You really don't know what you got till it's gone, man. And that's kind of some of the stuff that I got out of what Jimmy was saying was, you know, like when he said, I need to be coach harder. Well, I'm just thinking about Tibbs in my head going, well, you had that.
How many times did he say, do your job? Who is that?
Derek.
That's 100% Tibbs. 100% Tibbs.
I thought shade was throwing
at Derek. No. I mean, he was throwing shade at a lot of people.
Okay.
That's the
one thing I didn't like, is that the conversation, the way he started, he was going at the players. Then all of a sudden, he masked it under, well, Fred needs to do this. And then he said it, and then at the end, threw himself in there. Because you're going at the players because you believe you're doing everything you need to do. If that's the case, stand on that. Don't take a step back from it and try to mask it. Now I'm like, okay, that comes across as a little bit disingenuous. I don't know. I also had a problem with the fact that from what I read, I wasn't there. But what from KC and everybody was there when he met with the media, his whole conversation was me. I met with this person. I did this. I did that. As a leader, if you're the leader, at some point, the conversation has to change. The one thing I know for a fact, you can say what you want to say.
I know where you're going.
You can disagree. Agree doesn't make a difference. I looked at him and his comments, and I knew immediately you're not ready to do that.
He said that, though.
They put you in a position that you're not ready for. Same thing Mark Trestman and Phil Emery did to Brandon Marshall.
This dude
is not ready to be a leader.
He said it, though. He said, this is my first time being in this position, so I'm still kind of learning as I go.
I get it.
So if
and
that's
I
the
respect
case,
that.
If that's the case, and I know everybody doesn't know this because this is wisdom. I'm sure he'll have wisdom as he grows older.
Yeah, he will.
Look, you had a leader there, but the problem is the leader that should have groomed you was emasculated and taken down and stripped by the organization and by Fred Hoiberg when they benched them.
But they already letting you know what they're doing.
That's a problem.
I'd have a problem with that.
That's a problem.
And you know what? And listen, I commend Joe King 100% for taking the high role in this because I will be very loud and boisterous.
Now, what's your take on that? Why Joe took the high role? Is there any particular reason why he chose to take the high road? Is it just him knowing how to be a leader not want to fracture the locker room? Or no, was it deeper than that?
Joe has always taken the high road. Every single time.
He's better man than most
people. Always taking a high road. I mean, you will never get a controversial comment out of that dude ever.
But,
he doesn't have to say anything to know for you to know how he feels.
Right.
But honestly, you know how, you know, when you I was watching this past morning about how the NFL and how they do their press conferences. And there's one team that it seems like the media is always focused on, who they always want to hear from, and that is the Patriots. They're waiting to hear what Bill Belichick has to say,
and
he's
not going to give you anything.
Yeah, and then what Tom Brady has to say. That's what they wait for. And for me, it's hard for me to like the Bulls and want to hear from the guy that I want to hear from, and I don't get to hear from him. I want to hear from Joe.
I mean, that is what it is.
I want to hear from Joe. Like, that's, and for fans, I think we have our own mindset of who we believe or the leaders or who the guys who we want to hear from, and I don't get to hear from Joe, and I'm like, what's the deal here?
And those people that agree with what Jimmy said, you're still foolish if you're taking this opportunity to go in on Derrick Rose.
I mean, listen. Let me say this, and y'all know how I feel about Derrick. Y'all know I would defend that dude to the end. He's not been producing.
There's a reason for that.
I don't care what the reason is at this point. You have to get out there and play, man. You got to play.
I agree.
Even if you want out, cool. Even if you feel like they ran your coach out, the coach that you like, the coach that you had the most success under, you mad about that, cool. I get that. But that is not a reason for half-hearted effort, because now people are saying you're stealing.
Yep.
Oh, we know you now,
and we know that you're better than that. You know what I'm saying? So if you're gonna be in out there, and if you're gonna if you're gonna wear that uniform, you gotta play, fam.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like,
go about it the way Joe is going about it.
Look, just go out there and give us everything that you have, and people will respect that. You know, I gotta. It hurts me to hear people call Derrick a thief, because he's making $20 million and he probably going to give you 12 points a game. But at the end of the day, I have to step back and look at it like, bro, look, they played Philly last week. He took three shots in the game. I understand he has some personal stuff going on with his son and everything like that. Look, I get all of that, man, but you're paid professional, bro. Like, and we know that you still got it in you. Because you've shown it.
We saw it in the playoffs.
We've seen it. Yeah. Not even in the playoffs. I've seen
it against OKC this year.
I've seen it a couple games this year.
And I think he's going to pull it out probably on Christmas.
But it doesn't have. But it shouldn't be against those elite teams or in those bright moments. Like, you have, like, that wasn't the Derrick that we'd gotten used to. Every single night, you know he was going to be a problem.
But